Thanks for downloading Witness from the BBC. And following the death of Nelson Mandela, we're looking back at South African history throughout this week. And today, it's the 1950s, and a time when the country's racist apartheid laws were being put in place. Drawing on the BBC's archives, Alan Johnston has been building up a picture of the mood at this critical period in the country's history.
It is 1957, and the apartheid system is being set in stone. For several years, the government's been passing laws that divide every area of life along racial lines. A BBC documentary team is there to witness this ongoing process. And today, this archive material provides a snapshot of the attitudes and emotions all across South African society as apartheid tightened its grip. Our reporter began by sitting down with the Prime Minister at the time, Johannes Strydom.
Prime Minister, what is the government trying to do with its policy of apartheid?
Its object is to regulate life between black and white, to eliminate friction between the two groups, and to ensure the safety of the white minority, whilst at the same time providing scope for the development of the Africans in their own territories and in separate townships in the white man's area.
How do you square with Christian principles the attempt, in effect, to make African second-class citizens in the white areas while using their cheap labour to base the economy of the country on?
Well, you must remember that we are dealing with a primitive people whose natural standard of life is far below that of the white man and who will, in their own interests, have to remain under the guardianship of the white man for many generations to come. If complete equality were brought about and separation between black and white abolished, the 3 million white people would soon disappear as a result of submersion by the 11 million black people. After that, South Africa would rapidly revert to barbarism and be completely lost to Christianity.
There were even more nakedly racist views to be found among white people on the streets.
A native, of course, is a man who's more of a child and has to be treated as such.
When you say treated as such, what does that mean?
Well, he hasn't our standard of intelligence, and when you ask him to do a thing or tell him to do a thing, you must be firm. You mustn't allow him laxity, because if you play with him, he doesn't think you're serious, and then you lose control.
It might seem astonishing now, but in the view of some white South Africans back in 1957, there was simply no problem worth talking about.
If it weren't for the press, we would never have heard of any racialism in this country in any shape or form. It is certainly the press doing the damage.
Do you think that when they report cases of ill treatment of Africans, that they're really exaggerating?
Not only exaggerate, it's a bunch of lies from A to Z. There are here and there a little whipping, you know, and that sort of thing, that you find everywhere, perhaps in the world. But as far as ill treatment is concerned, the way it's been put, it's a pack of lies from one end to the other.
But by no means all white people supported the coming of apartheid. There was particularly strong opposition in the universities. And the Bishop of Johannesburg, Ambrose Reeves, condemned a law that could compel churches to bar black people if whites in the congregation objected to their presence.
The Anglican Church has already decided that if the minister acts under this particular clause, the church will refuse to obey it.
Bishop, am I right in feeling that there's an atmosphere of fear throughout this country?
Yes, there is undoubtedly a growing atmosphere of fear. Fear between the Afrikaner and English-speaking South Africans. Fear of many of the white people for the black people. Fear of African for the European, and so it goes on.
And as the deeply discriminatory laws were being enforced, the BBC team talked to a group of men designated under apartheid as being coloured or Indian, who were about to be uprooted from their neighbourhoods to make room for whites.
How many of you have got to move, do you think?
All of us.
All of us.
All of you?
All of us, yes.
How long have you lived in your house?
22 years.
Where will you move to?
Undecided.
Have any of you got businesses that you'll have to move?
Yes, I have. I'm in the centre of the city at the present moment,
and my tailoring and outfitting business would have to move entirely. Where to, I don't know.
What do you think is the object of this legislation?
To dispossess all non-whites and reduce them to the position of non-citizens, to divide and to keep the non-Europeans divided.
But apartheid's opponents were already mounting determined, organised resistance. An anti-apartheid protest song. It was being sung by more than 150 black activists who'd gathered outside a court in Johannesburg where they were being tried. The government was accusing them of having been influenced by communist ideas. Speaking for those on trial was the then leader of the African National Congress, Chief Albert Luthuli, who, a few years later, would win the Nobel Peace Prize.
Denied as we are, of course, constitutional methods, as you know, in South Africa, we try to achieve our objects by peaceful means along non-violent lines.
What about this boycott of goods made by firms which support the government?
This is just an effort on our part to indicate in a very strong way how we protest against the policies of the nationalist government, because the nationalist government, much more than any other government in this country, have accentuated the position very, very much. And we feel that we ought to indicate by a very strong protest our objection to their policy. And we think that this might be one way whereby we can make them feel that we are in fact opposed very seriously to this protest.
And elsewhere, in a more rural setting, the BBC team found a black crowd being mobilised for the campaign against apartheid.
My boy, Africa! My boy, Africa! My boy, Africa! These are the various heads under which the Native Laws Amendment Bill is arranged.
The crowd was shouting, Africa, awake. The more that legislation for apartheid is pushed through Parliament, the greater the opposition aroused among the Africans.
Increased control over the activities of churches, welfare organizations, clubs, etc. Further control of African workers. Restriction of the right of the colored people to live in African locations. These are the things that we are opposing. They must be clearly understood by you all.
A group of black teenagers making some music in a street in their township. As he watched on that day in 1957, the BBC reporter wondered about their future. Would they accept the second-class status to which apartheid was condemning them? Or would they be part of what the reporter called some great African revolt in a few years' time? In the event, it would actually take more than a few years to bring down apartheid. It wasn't until 1991 that the last of its laws were repealed. And 3 years after that, Nelson Mandela was elected to lead the new South Africa.
Alan Johnston reporting. And for our complete range of downloads and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.